We've been studying the book of James, and I would ask you to open your Bibles this morning to James chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 13. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. We're going to read through verse 17 of chapter 4. And this is God's word. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? But He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, but the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired word. Now, in this passage we've read this morning, there is a whole lot of meaty stuff, a whole lot of stuff that's going to take a while to process, work through, etc. But I want you to see, and the reason I read this longer section is because I want you to see a thread running through all of it, is the necessity of humility, the need for humility. Now, humility is kind of a touchy subject because it's hard to teach on humility in a humble manner. You know what I mean? So I'm just going to try and stick closely with what Scripture says, because I don't want to come across like somebody who has just published a book, Humility and How I Achieve It. I haven't published a book, by the way, by that name. I've talked about doing that ever since I was in college, but so far I haven't done it. Billy Graham's father-in-law used to tell a story about a preacher who was given a medallion by his congregation because of his humility. He was such a humble man that they wanted to honor him, so they gave him a medallion for his humility, but then they had to take it away from him because he wore it. Humility is tough. All right. Now, it's tough because if you start to think you're succeeding at gaining humility, the tendency is to become proud. And then you've kind of thwarted the whole thing. Do you understand what humility is? It means not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. That's what we read in Romans chapter 12. You need to think soberly. You need to think accurately. So, for instance, let me use another favorite story of mine. I actually know a preacher who went to an Ivy League school and he was tall, ruggedly handsome, very intelligent, very articulate, a world traveler. And many of us believe very fond of looking at himself in the mirror. And he used to sometimes at parties wander over to a piano and play just the opening bars of a sonata. Just a few opening bars of the sonata. And then he would turn, move away. People would say, "Oh, so-and-so," and I'm not going to call his name. "Oh, so-and-so, I didn't know you could play the piano." And he'd say, "Well, I can't really." And they'd say, "Oh, yes, that was beautiful." And he'd say, no, I really don't play." Now, they thought he was being humble about yet one more of his many talents. In fact, it was his little private joke, because he had learned only a few bars of one sonata. And he'd practiced and practiced and practiced that little opening section. That's why it was always the same opening bars of the same sonata that he did whenever he did his little parlor trick. And so when people would say to him, "Oh, I didn't know you could play," and he would say, "I can't really," that was accurate. He can't really. He can't really play the piano. He couldn't play another note beyond what you just heard. But people got the impression that he was even more talented than they had known, and humble besides. Well, he was not more talented than they had known, and he certainly was not being humble. He was trying to falsely elevate his position even more. And he thought it was funny enough to share this with some of his friends. I'm telling you, humility is something God says is essential. And yet a lot of us have trouble with it. Now, suppose you really can play the piano, and yet you're afraid that playing the piano might not appear humble. And so your little act is, "Oh no, I really can't, I can't play." And you therefore deprive other people of the benefit of your gifts and your skills. Is that humility? No. That's false humility. That's phoniness. It's dishonesty. And whether you're being dishonest with yourself or dishonest with other people, dishonesty is not okay. So if you have athletic ability, but you, I'm just a klutz. Well, if you're a klutz, fine. If you're not a klutz, don't call yourself a klutz. That's not humility. It's dishonesty. On the other hand, if you go around trying to exalt yourself and saying, "I bet I'm the fastest person here." Well, on what basis? Did you just race everyone and you discovered that 5 times out of 5 you beat everybody in the room in a foot race? I mean, why would you say such a thing? Why are you comparing yourself to other people? Humility is having a sober assessment, a realistic, honest assessment of your strengths and your weaknesses, and being able to use your strengths to serve others for the glory of God, not putting yourself down and pretending that you just can't do anything. I can do nothing. I'm just a worm. I just ought to go eat mud. No. No. God has given all of us strengths, and all of us obviously manifest weaknesses. And we ought to be able to be honest about what we're going to... Oh, well, perhaps I could help you with that. Okay? Well, would you like for me to give you a hand? That's something that I enjoy doing. Nothing wrong with volunteering to help people in areas where you're strong. But let's suppose this. This will be another key as to whether or not humility is going on. Let's suppose that you volunteer to help someone and they say, no thanks, I'll get it. And you go off fuming because you didn't get a chance to show your strengths. Well, at that point, were you behaving humbly or were you behaving pridefully, hoping to show off your strengths, your talents, your abilities? What about it? Are you honestly eager to serve, or are you hoping to preen? Do you know what preening is? Preening is a term that we use to describe the behavior of certain birds. Birds that work on themselves all the time to get themselves all gussied up. And then they prance around and they try to get the other birds to see how really pretty they are. Okay? If you behave like a silly bird, you're being prideful, not humble, and it leads to conflict, and it leads to frustration, and it leads to judgment. You don't want to go there. As we look at these verses, James 3:13 through 4:17, we see that humility brings peace, but that arrogant pride brings conflict and judgment. Is that clear? That's the overriding theme that we want to see this morning. Now let's look again at a few of the verses in these sections. Who is wise and understanding among you? That's a good question. Okay. Who among you is wise and understanding? Oh, me. Well, he says, don't just raise your hand. Show it by a good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. What he says is, if you're really wise, you'll be humble. If you really have wisdom, you're not going to say, oh, I am wise. I am so wise. I am wise in my own eyes. Okay? Did he say mayonnaise? No, I said my own eyes. Okay? I'm wise in my own eyes. Chef Cam is wise in mayonnaise. Okay. He knows when to use it, when not to use it, and how to make it. But don't be wise in your own eyes. Because the fact of the matter is, you and I... That was so corny. Jackie's also a chef over here. She's laughing. Maya and eyes. You like that? That reminds me of an Alabama joke. But anyway. It was the young man whose name was Gaius. His name was Gaius, a biblical name. Sometimes Gaius, sometimes Gaius. This fellow pronounced it Gaius. Oh, he pronounced it Gaius, didn't he? He pronounced it Gaius. Thank you. He pronounced it Gaius, and he called home, long distance, collect. And the operator said, this is a true story. The operator said, who shall I say is calling? He said, Gaius. And she said, what? He said, Gaius. She said, just tell me your name. Why should I Gaius? She didn't understand why she should have to Gaius. Just give me your name. Just give me your name, son. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's of the favorite things I've heard last month. I just love it. Gayest. Okay, Fred, John, I'm guessing. Anyway, if you really have wisdom, it's going to show up in humility. Now, wisdom means the ability to see things from God's perspective. You have a realistic view of things. If you understand the truth about who you are, you're not going to be prideful. You're going to be humble. Because even though you will know that you have some strengths, you're going to know you've got some real weaknesses. Okay? You don't have to pretend that you don't have any strengths. And you better not pretend you don't have any weaknesses. If you are wise, you will show it by a good life with deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts. Now, why would someone harbor envy and selfish ambition in your hearts? Because I want to show that I'm better than those people. I want to show that I'm smarter. I want to show that I'm faster. I want to make people think I'm better looking. Okay? I'm just telling you, folks. That is foolish in the worst sense of the word. That is true foolishness. If you harbor envy and selfish ambition, it'll eat you up and it'll destroy your relationships with other people. But I think she's better looking than I am. Yeah, probably most people would say so. Well, why is that a problem?
Well, because I don't want other people to be better looking than I am.
Well, then you're going to have a miserable life. Okay? Do you understand that? We can't all be above average. Do you understand? Because then average wouldn't mean average, would it? If everybody's smarter than average, our terms don't have meaning anymore. You understand? I shared with some folks recently that I decided in second grade that I was no good at math. I hated math. I couldn't do math. And the reason is because my teacher would give us speed tests where we had a page of problems to work and we would bring our paper to her when we got through. And I was always second. Okay? There were about 25 kids in the class, and I was always second. Richard Hudson was always first. And the fact that Richard Hudson consistently beat me in math made me feel like I don't want to do math anymore. Because in my sick little mind, I thought if I wasn't the best, I was no good. That is the epitome of what's being warned against here. You see, that wasn't humility on my part. That was pride on my part. I was envious of his talent. I was so prideful that I thought I had to be the best at everything or else I didn't want to do it. If I can't be the star, then I don't want to contribute. So whether it was athletics, where to me, the idea of missing a shot from the free throw line would be catastrophic. I can't understand how. I mean, the goal doesn't change heights. It's not a moving target. Okay? It's a stationary target at a fixed height from a fixed distance. How can you possibly make $1 million for shooting baskets and miss that? It's your job to get it in there. You understand? They pay these people exorbitant sums of money. They stand there, they dribble like this, and they go like that, and the ball doesn't go in the hoop. I'd go home. That'd be it for me. Game over. Sorry, guys. Somebody else will have to play. I missed a shot. Well, does that mean that I just have a really exceptionally high standard of excellence? Or that I am a neurotic nutcase with a big pride problem. I would submit to you it is a problem with my being a neurotic nutcase with a big pride problem. You understand? If you can't admit your mistakes, if you cannot stand for anybody to know that you've got a problem, you've got a problem. You understand? And it's going to mess you up because guess what? No matter how hard you try to fool everybody into thinking that you're perfect, you're not going to fool anybody. You understand? Nobody's going to think you're perfect because you're not, and it shows. But if we get honest about the fact that we are sinners who need a Savior, that we have strengths and abilities and weaknesses and faults, that we sometimes get it right and we sometimes get it wrong, if we understand that, then we're beginning to gain wisdom. We're beginning to see things from God's perspective. We're beginning to realize that even though we mess up, God has chosen to love us, not because we deserve it, not because we deserve it, but because God has chosen to love us. And therefore, I don't have to be perfect in order for God to love me. I don't have to be perfect in order to try and impress other people, because it really doesn't matter if other people are impressed. What I need to do is be focused on honoring Him and doing His will for His pleasure and His glory. And if I live my life that way, that's wisdom. That's humility, and that brings peace. If instead I'm busy trying to preen and show off and make everybody think I'm perfect, it's going to lead to conflict. It's going to reflect the envy and jealousy in my heart, and it is ultimately extreme foolishness. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, now listen to this, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. In other words, that attitude leads to other bad stuff. People do sinful things trying to make themselves look good, trying to advance their own position, trying to cover their behinds. Is that clear? That's why when you do something wrong and you're asked about what you did, the temptation is to do what? Lie. Well, why would you lie? Well, because I don't want to admit I made a mistake. I don't want to admit I did the wrong thing. I don't want to admit that I sinned. Well, the Bible says, confess your sins and God will forgive. But you know what God doesn't forgive? Excuses. You understand? God doesn't forgive excuses. There is nowhere in the Bible where it says, make an excuse and you will be forgiven. Not in there. Okay? Confess your sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Which are you more inclined to do? Confess your sin or make an excuse? That's a real good indicator as to whether you're being wise or prideful. And if you're being prideful, you're not being wise. The two don't go together at all. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Did you hear that? The wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure. Let me tell you something. You may think that it is wise and sophisticated to know about all manner of evil. You know, I'm not really engaging in it. I'm just trying to get educated, just trying to learn about our culture. When I was a little boy, somebody dumped some porn magazines in the woods near our home. My neighbor and I found them. Actually, it's two neighbors and I found them. And as we looked at them, which shouldn't have done, by the way, okay, do you know the excuse that I made? This is what I said. I remember it. I'm just looking to see how sinful these things can get. That's what I said. And the other guys, I think, bought it. Okay? Because they wanted an excuse too. Let me tell you something. That was among the more stupid things I've done. Not just stupid to look at the porn, but stupid to try and pose self-righteously as if my motivation was, I'm just trying to see how sinful these things can get. You understand? Do you understand? God's not impressed, and no wise person will be either. And you and I need to recognize that the wisdom that comes from above is, first of all, pure. It's first of all pure. Impurity does not honor the Lord. Impurity just trashes your life. The wisdom that comes from above, from heaven, is first of all pure. Then peace-loving. Are you somebody who loves to make peace, or are you somebody who just loves to pick a fight? You can always find something to... Oh, I see a scab. Okay. Let's see if we can get an arousal out of this person. Poke. 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 What are you so upset about? I was just kidding. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. Peace-loving. You love it when things are peaceful. I'm going to tell you something, students. Listen closely. Some of you have come from very... How should I say this? Chaotic backgrounds. A lot of conflict, people yelling at each other, people... And you're going to miss it. As much as you didn't like it, when you get into a peaceful atmosphere, you're going to feel a little disoriented. When's the fighting going to start? When's the yelling going to start? And do you know what some of you may be tempted to do? Stir things up a bit. Because it's just going to be uncomfortable for you to find a bunch of people all getting along with each other. And so even though you won't be thinking, I want to try and create a chaotic environment for myself once again, you will actually be tempted by your adversary, the devil, to try to create a problem for yourself. That's a temptation that a lot of people fall into. That is not from God. That is from your adversary, the devil. You need to realize that and begin loving peace. Peace loving. Okay? And guess what? Considerate. Considerate. I had never been on a teeter-totter before. A seesaw, you know what that is? Our Sunday school at my father's church had taken us to the park. And as a bunch of preschoolers, we were supposed to enjoy ourselves. But I'd never been to a place like that before. And they put me on one side of a seesaw or teeter-totter. And they put a little girl on the other side. And then they started us going up and down. Well, that was fun for a few times. But I could see other kids doing other things that looked like more fun. Well, I certainly couldn't get off of the teeter-totter when I was up in the air. So I got off when I was down on the ground. I didn't think about what would happen to the girl on the other end of the seesaw because no one had taught me about physics. And I didn't understand that if I got off at this end, suddenly she would come crashing down on the other end and it would hurt her legs. Now, thank God it didn't cripple her for life, but it did cause her shock, pain, and embarrassment. I missed that whole thing until it was explained to me afterwards. Because when I got down, I hopped off and ran over there. She went crashing, people came running, and then the adults came after me. And they told me how horrible that was. I can't believe you would do such a mean thing. And I'm thinking, what did I do? I really didn't know. Here's the thing. I wasn't being deliberately cruel. I was being inconsiderate. I did not consider the impact my behavior would have on somebody else. So let's see if we can come up with any examples of that in group living situations. The Bible says that if you greet somebody early in the morning with a loud greeting, it's kind of like cursing at them. Okay? Well, we know we're not supposed to curse at them. So what does that mean? It means that our first attempt at waking up, even teenagers, should not be a pot and pan clang together going, "All right, rise and shine, time to get going." That's not kind. That's not considerate. Much better to come in, speak gently, encourage kids. "Okay, hey, hope you had a good night. How'd you sleep?" Okay? And then kids, on the day when you have to get up early to do chores or have quiet time or whatever it is, be quiet so other people can sleep. Do not get up and decide, "You know, I'm just going to praise the Lord as I take my shower. Thank you, Lord." Or, I mean, that's not, "Well, I was just worshiping God." If you're making so much noise that other people can't do what they're trying to do, you're not being kind. Do you understand? You say, "Well, I just like to sing." Well, then do it quietly. You understand? Now, guess what? Guess what? We need to be considerate. We need to think about what impact is this going to have on other people. And if we don't do that, we're not being wise. We're not being wise. It is pure, peace-loving, considerate, and then what's the next thing? Submissive. If you think it is wise to be rebellious, you're being foolish. If you think it is wise to be rebellious, you're being foolish. Wisdom is submissive. That means it recognizes those whom God has placed in authority and submits. Not only that, it is full of mercy, full of mercy, and good fruit. It produces good stuff in your life. It is impartial. That means you don't pick favorites. I'm going to be nice to this person and mean to this person. No matter what this person does, I'm always going to be irritated by them. And whatever this person does, I'm going to say, "Oh, well, they didn't mean any harm, I'm sure." No, you need to be impartial and you need to be sincere. Is that clear? And listen to what it says, verse 18. "Peacemakers who sow in peace," that is plant seed in peace, "peacemakers who do stuff in peace will raise a harvest of righteousness." Sometimes we think we have to be real oppositional in order to bring about righteousness. This says righteousness will be the result of our sowing in peace. Almost as if it's God who changes hearts, not my fist. Got it? So, when we look at the verses that follow, I want you to remember that James is already talking about the necessity of humility in order to bring peace, as opposed to arrogant pride, which brings conflict and judgment. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for loving us with a love that is everlasting and pure, that provides our peace and our righteousness through Jesus Christ. I pray that we would be a genuinely humble people who recognize your amazing grace and therefore are motivated to serve one another. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.